Hello everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to church. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us here together. And we give you all the praise and glory. We ask you to bless our study in the scriptures, Lord. Help us to be encouraged to live the way you want us to live and to please you. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in Hebrews chapter 11 verses 4 only we'll cover, that is the life of Abel. But we'll read verses 1 and 2 just to have a review and a revision so that we know what we are talking about. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But for by it the elders obtained a good report. Then verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaks. So we know that in Hebrews chapter 11, This is a chapter where we learn so much about faith, right? And what is faith? Faith is when we act and behave and make decisions based on our great hope that we have. So we learned in verse 1 that faith is seen. Faith has evidence and faith has substance. So faith is not just saying, but it is also doing. And what is that? Why is that? Because we have heard something. And we have heard of a great hope. Okay, that's why in Romans chapter 10 verse 17, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And in Romans chapter 10, the word of God is the good news. It's the gospel. And we know that majority of the people will reject this gospel. Right? That is what makes it more of the faith. Because, you know, all around you, people will not be living like that. If everyone was living like that, then it is not of faith, right? Because we have the herd mentality. We follow the crowd, right? But the crowd is not living by faith. That's what Romans 10 tells us, that most of them have rejected the gospel. And they are not interested. But for us who have been enlightened, who see this, We should not be discouraged. We should not be following the herd. But we should live by faith. And the good news is that we have people who have lived by faith. Who have not followed the world. Who have not followed the life of sight. Right? So that's why he says that that is what will give you approval in the kingdom. That is what will give you a good report. That is how God will approve you and will say well done and reward you in the coming kingdom. And that is how the elders obtained a good report. So praise God, we also have great examples. We just don't have, you know, thought how this is how we are supposed to live. But we also have great examples in the scriptures. So that is what he is going to teach us from verse 4 onwards. Jesus and God want us to learn from the elders who have lived a life of faith. Okay, and the first example is the example of Abel. And this is very important to understand that it goes, this chapter goes chronologically. It starts from the first man who lived by faith. And then it goes in that chronology. And of course it doesn't mention everyone. But it starts from the first man who lived by faith. Of course his father, that is Adam, is not mentioned here. But he is mentioned. So I think that he is the first one who lived by faith. And let's read what he did in verse 4. We'll read again. I'll read from the New Jerusalem Bible. I think because I like the way the first phrase, how it translates. It was because of his faith that Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. And for that he was acknowledged as upright when God himself made acknowledgement of his offering. So Abel's faith was seen. And how was it seen? It was by his actions, about how he took the decisions in his life. He lived a righteous life, and then he also lived a sacrificial life. Okay, both was his lifestyle. We should remember that, well, this is not just one thing that he did, that he sacrificed one animal and that's it, he was justified. But you know, this was, and also this passage in Genesis chapter 4, it shows his entire lifestyle. That's how he lived his entire life. Of course, this is one incident, but we see that in Hebrews chapter 4, it's in the plural. Like God testified of his gifts. And also when we read Genesis chapter 4, he was a righteous man. Okay, let's read in Hebrews chapter 4, in Genesis chapter 4 verse 2. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? So we see here that God not only had respect for his offering, but he also had respect for Abel. I think that's two different things. He had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And it says that he did not have respect unto Cain and to his offering. So that tells us that Abel was a righteous man. He lived a life of obedience. We also see that in 1 John chapter 3 verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And whereof slew he him? Because his own works, plural, were evil, and his brothers righteous. So Abel was not just, because he didn't just become righteous because he offered this one time sacrifice. It was his lifestyle. He was a righteous man, and that's why God had respect unto him. But God did not have respect unto Cain, because he was living a disobedient life. And also his sacrifice showed that he was not respectful towards God. He was not living by faith. He did not want to please God by his offering. You know, it was just like doing something, right? To maybe please our own conscience or to please other people. But it is not towards, but it's not doing something to please God. So we should remember that just to offer sacrifice doesn't mean anything. But first we should live righteous life. We should be obedient in all other things that we know that God wants us to do. And we see that in Proverbs chapter 21 that even the wicked offer sacrifices, right? The wicked also offer sacrifices, but God is not pleased with them. And God, in fact, God calls those sacrifices an abomination. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he brings it with a wicked mind? So Cain was like that. He was someone who was living a wicked life, and his sacrifice was an abomination to God. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 11, To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs and of he-goats. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. So we see here that Israel, when they were living disobedient life, they were offering many great sacrifices, full of the fat of the ram. But God did not accept them because they were because they were evil people and they were not repenting, they were not changing their ways. So this is a great trap that many people fall into, right? Just because they are giving something on the side to God, but majority of their life, most of their life, they are not doing the clear, they are not obeying the clear commandments that God has told. God considers their sacrifice as an abomination. In 1 Samuel 17 verse 15 verse 22, Samuel said, "Had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" So see, obeying God's voice, doing what He wants us to do, is much more important than giving sacrifices to Him. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So we know the context here, that Saul said, "I will spare all this good sheep. I will not kill everything, but I'll bring it to the Lord, and I'll offer in the temple." And so we see here clearly that first we should, you know, obey the clear commandments. That is very, very important. And if we obey the clear commandments, then we can do the sacrifices that God has called us to do. Then Abel, not only he had clean hands, but he was also, his sacrifice that he was doing for God was of the best that he could offer. Right? He chose the best that he could find. I think that's what this passage is saying, that when he brought the firstlings of the flock, that is the firstborn, and the fat thereof, the best he brought to God. I mean, that is something. Now, do we bring the best to God? And if we don't, you know, we are not living by faith. That's what this passage is saying. The reason Abel was able to do this, the best he gave it to God, is because he had faith. Because he had his eyes set on something greater than what he could see and feel and enjoy in this life. So that is the key in this passage, that what he was giving was not the second best. And I think that is what Cain was doing. You know, the best he kept. But Abel gave the best. And NIV translates this verse as, "But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock." So the best, the firstborn was very important, because I think probably they were of good health. The firstborn children of the animals, they were of good health, they were the best. And that he offered, and the best he offered. So that is the key in this verse. Not so much that he was offering a blood sacrifice, and that is why God was pleased with that. Because why is that? Because it doesn't say in the verse, right? I mean, how can I add things like that? You know, because he offered blood, and that's why God was pleased. And Cain did not offer blood, and that's why God was not pleased. So I cannot, you know, add things like that to the scriptures. But I should go by the clear verse. It tells me why God was pleased with his offering. It tells me why God was thrilled. He loved it. He was pleased, and we know that, right? When we give like great gifts to people, they are very, very happy, because they think that you really value that friendship, and that shows that how much you care for them. That shows how much you love them. That shows how much you respect them. But if I just give, you know, something which is not so good or whatever, something which was my spare, you know, that didn't cost me much, that shows that I don't care or respect, or, you know, respect them so much. So that is the point here, that what Abel offered, God was thrilled with that. Like, this man really loves me. It's like Abraham offering his son to God. That's why God was so pleased with Abel's sacrifice. So we cannot say that it was because it was a blood offering, because there are other places where plants and vegetables and grains were offered to God, and that was a genuine bona fide offering to God in the law, right? In the law, in the day of Pentecost, they would offer fruits to God, and they would offer wheat grains to God. So Cain, though he offered the what he offered, that is that he was a farmer, he offered what he grew from the ground, his was not respected because God didn't like it. Right? God is just like we, right? We don't like certain things, we don't like bad things given to us, right? So God did not accept his sacrifice because God did not like what he was doing, giving. And we see that in other places, in Malachi chapter 1 verse 6, the priests, they despised God by the offering. They despised God by the offering. Not by so much by their disobedience, because why? They were offering bad things to God. The things that are lame, blind, they are sacrificing animals that they didn't need. So that's why they were despising God. It says in verse 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priest that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? So the priests don't even understand why they are despising God. You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. So the bread that no one wants to eat, they put it on the altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Of course not. You know, whenever we are giving gifts, it depends on the position of the person. And I see that in my company also, whenever they are giving any gifts, there are special gifts to the bosses. You know, they don't get the same thing that we get. All the employees get one gift, but the bosses, they get special gift. Of course, they don't need any gifts, right? But just their position, the company honors them because of their position that they hold. So the same thing is here, that God holds a very high position. He's saying, I'm your master, I'm your father, and that's the kind of a gift you give me. And you are despising me by the way you are giving me sacrifices. So here we see that Cain was, you know, he was occupied by himself, basically, right? That's what, that's the life of sight. That's the life void of faith. Life void of faith, the life of sight, you know, we are, is someone, and it's when we are just occupied with this life. We just want the best and everything for our own self. And in Luke chapter 12, we know the story of this rich man. He was just kept on collecting, and he was storing up. Why? Because he was just occupied by his own self, and that is a life void of faith. You know, faith sees the future. Faith sees that one day I have to stand before the Almighty God. Faith sees a life beyond the life under the sun. Right, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the life under the sun is a life void of faith. It's the life that the masses are living. But faith is seeing beyond, just like Abel saw. He's saying that, you know, I don't want to keep the best. I don't want to enjoy the best that I can enjoy. But I want to give it to God. I want to offer it to God because I want to please God. And one day he will reward me. Of course he will reward you, right? If your boss and your master is pleased with you, the way you live and the way you are obedient to him, he will reward you in that day. So we must be like Abel. Like when we are offering things to God, that can be our time, our you know, every deed we do, everything we do, we should give it the best to God. That is very important. Let us not give the second best to God and then think that God is so happy with me, right? Of course, we can do that because I think there are two types of Christians, right? One is like Cain and one is like Abel. They both show the way two Christians live. Cain offers what is in spare and what he doesn't need so much, but Abel offers the best. So we see other examples in the scriptures, the things that people offered to God, sacrifices which pleased God. And God was very happy with that. And we see one example in Luke chapter 21, verse 1. That is when the widow gave two mites in the offering. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasure. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in hither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury, which means poverty or want or deficiency, has cast in all the living that she had. I mean, that must really please God. You know, think about that. What great faith this woman had. I mean, something we should learn by this act that this woman has done. Like, she had just had that much and she gave it to God. And that is a life of faith. That's the reason God is pleased. Why? Because she's trusting in God. She's trusting in God that God will provide for her. And the reason she gave is because she wanted to please God. Right? She wanted to please God. That's why she gave in the offering. But these others, they were giving because they were giving, of course, but that did not please God because they had so much. Right? They were like the rich man who probably had tons and tons of food stored in their in his barn. And they gave something out of that. So that is the reason God is pleased with this woman. Then in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So these are the sacrifices that we can offer to God. When we are thankful, that's just like we learned in last two messages. When we are thankful to God, in all circumstances, we are offering sacrifices of praise to God. And he is pleased with that. When we communicate, that is when we help other people who are in need, or when we just give to bless them, God is pleased with that. Other example is in Philippians chapter 4 verse 18. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which you sent, which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. So when this church in Philippi, they sent things to Paul who was in prison. They helped someone else in the prison. God was pleased with this offering. Also, we have the example in 2 Corinthians when the church in Macedonia, it says they gave out of their poverty. They gave out of their poverty. So it is not how much they gave. It was their faith. It was their faith that they were looking beyond. They were looking at God, that God would provide for them. They were looking to hear well done at the judgment seat of Christ. And of course, they will hear well done at the judgment seat of Christ. So that's the life of Abel. He was living a life of a righteous man. He was living a sacrificial life, giving his best to God. And that was his faith. That is how he lived by faith. And because of his faith, because of living by faith, he suffered for his righteousness. Right? He was killed by his own brother. It says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. So all that live godly, you know, not just few or some, but all that live godly, all that will live like Abel will suffer persecution. Of course, Abel suffered the maximum persecution. Like, he lost his life because of his obedience. But I think he was looking for the future, right? He was not so much interested in this life. If it was the will of God, just like Jesus offered himself, he offered himself to God. So we are not supposed to fear our death in this life. And I'm sure Abel did not fear death. We should not fear people like Cain, who can only kill the body. And that's what happened to Abel. Cain just killed his body in this life. But he did not kill his life in the sense he did not kill his resurrection. He did not put him to an end in that sense, that Abel will be resurrected on that day. So Abel, though Abel is dead, he will be resurrected. He will stand before God and he will be rewarded. That's absolutely certain, right? And we see here that God has testified of his gifts, that he is righteous. Why is that? That's because of the promises that God has given us. Of course, we have in the New Testament, but Abel also must be knowing about this, that there is a resurrection. Because he must know that the penalty that God had already given to Adam, that you will die because of your sin. You will die. That Abel knew that he will die. But God also must have shown him the promise of a resurrection. A resurrection meaning a life that will never be put to an end. A life of immortality. So that was his great hope. And that is how we can also live like Abel if we have that great hope. That even if we die, being faithful, being obedient, we will be raised back to life. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body." So we should not fear people like Cain, who can only kill our body in this life, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So God could destroy Abel, but Cain could not destroy Abel. Cain is a man. He could just put him to sleep for some time, but God will raise him back in the coming kingdom. But you know, Cain is in trouble, right? Because it says in that other part of the passage in Matthew chapter 10 that those who are disobedient, or those who, especially those who persecute other Christians, and in this case Cain put him Cain killed him. Cain will be destroyed, both body and soul, in hell, in the coming kingdom. So Abel is going to be rewarded, and Abel's reward is the coming resurrection. And in John chapter 11 verse 25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And we know in John chapter 11, the context is Lazarus, who is dead. And his sister says that, "I know that he will rise in the last day." But Jesus is saying that he is the resurrection and the life. He has the power even to raise now. Of course, he raised him, but he has the power to raise in the coming kingdom. And that resurrection is the best resurrection, the resurrection unto life. That means never to die again. So that is the reward that awaits Abel. That is the reward that awaits Abel. And so who is the loser here? No, not Cain, who is going to be destroyed in the coming kingdom, but Abel, who will be rewarded by a resurrection life. In 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you." So Abel, though he died, he, in weakness, he was looking for the future. Just like Paul here, he's looking for the future. He's looking for the day when he will live with Jesus Christ. When he will be in the coming kingdom and he will be sitting with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in a resurrected body. So, we can either die in faith, just like Abel died in faith, and all the heroes of Hebrews chapter 11. Or we can die without faith like Cain. And that is a life that is forgotten by God. No, that is the life that no one will remember. And that is a life which will not be rewarded, which will not be resurrected in the coming kingdom. So Abel, though he died a blessed man. Right? Blessed, he died as a blessed man. And that is not for those who have not lived by faith. It's only those who have lived by faith, who have died in the Lord, faithful. They are those who have died blessed. Okay. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." So Abel is one of them, right? He's the blessed who have died. Blessed are those who have died in the Lord from henceforth. "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them." So that is the life of faith. That we know that our works are going to follow us. It's not just for this life. It's not just so that we can, you know, be satisfied with what we are doing, or please others, or you know, have some kind of position in this life. We are doing works because our works are going to follow us at the judgment seat of Christ. Our works are going to be evaluated, and they will be rewarded. And that's why he was doing great works, right? If I live that way, I will be doing great works. Works that will, that is pleasing God. But if I'm not, then I don't believe that my works are going to follow me. Then I will not offer my best to God. So God has not forgotten Abel's gifts. And God doesn't forget what we do for him. Right? In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10, "God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." So God will not forget the things that people have done for him. You know, but all other things, all other people will forget, you know, that what you have done for them. That's so true, right? People forget, this world will forget, and no one will remember. And we see that so much in the book of Ecclesiastes. Okay, I'll read a few verses. In Ecclesiastes 2:15, it says, "Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me." He was the king. He had the best in this world. He was the wisest man. So he's saying, without a life of faith, without a life of obedience, I'm just like another fool who lived in this life. "Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, since that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dies the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit." So without, you know, without the works of faith, without the works that please God, all those works are vanity. They will be forgotten. They will not be remembered. Only the works that God remembers will be remembered, right, into the coming kingdom. In Revelation chapter 20 verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." According to their works. So, only a man who understands this, that one day his works are going to be manifested. One day they are going to be evaluated and judged by God and rewarded. Only they can live a life of faith, right? Only they can live a life of obedience to God, obeying His commandments, and even going beyond the life of selfishness, right? A life of selfishness. The opposite of sacrifice is selfishness. I'm just occupied with my own things. I'm just hoarding up things for my own self. I want the best, and I want to have pleasure, right? But the life of sacrifice is that, no, I will put my pleasure aside, but I will serve God, I will obey God, I will give my best to God. Because that is what is going to last, that is what is going to be rewarded. So in closing, though Abel is dead, he still speaks. And I think he speaks because he was a righteous man. Right? He lived a life of faith. And his life is preaching to us. Though he's not alive, but he is a testimony to all the Christians and to all the faithful. He's preaching to us today. He's telling us that you also should live the way I live, and the other people, others who have lived by faith. Now, so he is a prophet. He is called a prophet in Matthew chapter 23, verse 34. Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogue and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. So this passage is telling us that God will hold us accountable to the messages that we heard, and to the message that Abel is preaching through his life that he lived, through his faith that he displayed. Abel is preaching to us that he is a prophet, and most of the prophets were killed and persecuted, right? And is that forgotten by God? No. God is saying that he will hold them responsible for what they did to the message and the messenger that preached to them about the coming kingdom and about faith. So we'll close here and we'll discuss more in the discussion time.